worship you, Lord. You are greater. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus.
You. Amen. Just want to welcome everyone here. I'm so glad to see your smiling faces, and we're here to meet with God and to worship Him and to get into a better relationship with Him day by day. So let's just open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are here. Thank you that You have been here waiting for us. And Lord, that You are ready to speak to us all the time, and that You are speaking to us, Lord. We open our ears to You. We just call the blood of Jesus on this place. We say only the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, is here. And we open our eyes and our ears and our minds to receive Your word. And we just thank You for this opportunity to hear it. And may each word just impact us, and may we hold on to it and not let it go. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay, Pastor has taken the time and he has pre-recorded a message for us, and so we're going to hear that now.
Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for the privilege accorded me once again to share the word of God with you tonight. The God we serve is a God of purpose.
Praise the Lord.
And as we pursue after the will of God for our lives, we have to be with you tonight. The God we serve is a God of purpose. And as we pursue after the will of God for our lives, we have to be cognizant of the principles of the kingdom of God. We know that God wants us blessed. There is no doubt about that. We've spent the time exploring the subject of blessing. But is there a time when the blessing becomes a problem? And tonight I want to explore that thought with you. Is it possible that we can mess up the blessing that God has for us? You know, the Word of God says an inheritance claimed too soon will not be blessed at the end. That is radical. An inheritance may be gotten hastily, King James says, at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. So, how is that possible? Well, it is that possible because when you take a hold of that which you are not ready for, it can become the thing that breaks you. So many of us have not allowed ourselves to mature. When we're talking about the blessings of God, we're talking about the capacity to be able to also receive it. If, for example, I have a cup, this cup, and I have a blessing, I'm asking for a gallon worth of liquid to be poured into this little cup. Guess what's going to happen? It will fill it all right, but the rest will be wasted. And so many times, waste becomes the inheritance of the blessed because they've not enlarged themselves to have the capacity. This morning, we heard the word of God about Jabez. Jabez says, enlarge my coast. Enlarge me. Give me the capacity to receive the blessing. We all need to experience that capacity. My prayer is this: God, enlarge my capacity to receive your blessings. Enlarge my capacity, the capacity of my mind to comprehend. Paul says that ye may comprehend with all saints the depth, the height, the width, the length of that love of God. What is this capacity that must first and foremost be enlarged? The capacity of knowing that I'm loved and that God has a perfect timing on his mind for me. To rest on that and not fret, not worry, not overwhelm myself with concerns that I'm running behind, I'm late, I'm whatever, but to recognize that the God who loves me also carries me and that he will help me get to the place I need to get at the fullness of time. Did you notice that the Word of God uses statements like that? At the fullness of time? Jesus came at the fullness of time. The Holy Spirit came at the fullness of time. God has a strategic time for every one of us. And I want you to be at peace with that this morning, this evening. Be at peace with the fact that God, who knows you best, who knows you most, who knows every detail about you, who knows every detail about me, has a plan, an agenda. Again, Proverbs 20 and 21. Proverbs chapter 20 and 21. An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. It shall not. No matter how much you want it to be blessed, it shall not be blessed. The Berean Standard Bible says, an inheritance gained quickly will not be blessed in the end. So, Pastor, why are you hopping on this? Because when you understand that, you'll understand the Word of God found in the book of Luke, the 15th chapter, about the prodigal son, the story of the prodigal son, Luke chapter 15. It says in Luke 15, watch these words, because this is powerful. Verse 11, it says, and he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. In other words, give me my inheritance. And he divided unto them his living. He divided it. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. He wanted his goods now. He couldn't wait. Why couldn't he wait? The father loved him, but he did not have the capacity to understand that the father loved him. The father so loved him that the father will find out is going to be waiting for him to return. There was going to be a consequence. He'd ask, and the father did not say no. He who asks receives. Have you ever been in a situation where you ask God for something and it was given you and you said, oops, I thought this is what I wanted. Oh God, if only I can get married to Johnny, my life will be so good. Now you have Johnny and you say, oh God, I need a Johnny. Away from this Johnny. I want to get away from this guy. Johnny is not a blessing. But that's what you wanted. Not old enough. You want to get away from home. My papa, they're too strict. They're too strict. They just want na. And you just want to get away. And so many times, that's what we do. We just want what we think is the blessing. It's not that it is not a blessing. It's just that you're not ready for it. And the prayer that you and I need to pray today is, God, speedify my growth, my maturity. So, Lord, I can have the capacity to handle what you are giving so generously to me. That you will find me mature enough to release the blessing into my life. God loads us daily with blessings. There's no limit to what God wants to do in your life and in my life. So this young man asks, and he's given what he asked for, and he gathers everything. He's meticulous about that. He knows what his stuff is. And he goes on a journey into a far country, far away. Somewhere that he will not be disturbed by family, disturbed by his father, disturbed by his mother, disturbed by his brother, disturbed by whatever contact it is. You see, God spoke to Abraham and says, go on a journey, separate yourself. But in this particular case, this guy goes on a journey. He separates himself, but the end thereof was not going to be life. The word of God says, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end of that way is death. It's destruction. And today, I want to challenge you as I challenge myself and say, God, take me to the place, step by step, where the blessing does not become a messing in my life. But rather, take me to the place where the blessing becomes the message of God's grace and favor in my life, because I am mature to handle it. So God, grow me up, mature me in understanding your love. Why will this young man take all of this and separate himself? Because he did not know that he was loved. That's his problem. And for many of us, it is this problem. We do not comprehend that we are loved. And when you don't know that you're loved, you will scrap for everything you can grab a hold of. That was his story. But what you have not worked for, what you have not really appreciated, what you have not truly end through experience and through growth, you'll waste. I know that from personal experience. In a sense, I might think of myself as a late bloomer. I did a lot of foolish things growing up. I didn't understand money, the value of it, what it costs to earn it. I just knew that we had money. And so the young man not working, living in the States, the United States, I remember receiving funding from home, from my dad, some 20 grand, something like that. And shortly after that, I was asking for more money. What had I done with it? But some silly stuff, wasted. But there came a time when my father could not send me any money. Now I knew the value of money, because now I was married. Now I had children. Now I had a family to take care of. And money could not come the way it used to come. I was still in the same setting. I remember so well one day on my knees praying, and the Lord spoke to me and said to me, "You have another God." I said, "No, I don't." He said, "Yes, you do." I said, "I don't have any other gods. You, oh God, you're the only one that I worship and serve. Why would you say such a thing? Why would you say to me that I have another God? I don't." He says, "Okay, so you don't. But if you had such and such a need, how would you solve it?" I said, "I'll call my dad." If you want to buy this and buy that, what will you do? "You know what I'll do? I'll call my dad." I said, "Didn't I say you have another God?" That was the beginning of a retraining. Because the economy of my then country, Nigeria, collapsed completely. You could not have foreign exchange. It was, everybody was shut down. The economy was shut down. This was an economy where one naira was stronger than the US dollar, stronger than the pound. Collapse completely. Today, one Canadian dollar might fetch you 540 naira. Can you imagine the breakdown? And when it started, it was a major mess. But what I had wasted. Because I did not know the value of it. When you don't understand the value of your salvation, you will mess with it. You will not take it seriously. There are so many who are not taking their salvation seriously. It's cheap. It's cheap. Jesus died. He granted me grace, so I can do anything I want to do. That's living crazy. Really. Because there are consequences to that kind of thinking. Give me my inheritance. Give me that which pertains to me. And his father divided to them his living. And he takes off on his journey and he wastes all of it. The Bible says, and there wasted his substance. He wasted his substance. The word is the word usia. In that word usia, you can hear the beginning of exousia. When he wasted his substance, he wasted his property, he wasted his goods, his possessions, but he also wasted his usia. His, may I put it this way, wasted his ability to operate in authority. When you waste that which is yours, you lose the power, you lose the authority to flow into the fullness of what God has for you. What we must guard against is this whole aspect of waste. He wasted his substance with riotous living. He says, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. It's getting worse. So first of all, he's wasted, he spent all, and now problems hit. Problems hit. If he'd not wasted, he will be able to survive the famine. But the foolishness of sin causes us to waste what we've got, so that at the time that we need what we have, we don't have it to apply to the famine, to the difficulties that we have or are facing. Don't waste. First of all, the reason I read to you Proverbs 20:21 is this, that this was inevitable. It was inevitable. It was something that was going to happen. The very fact that he took that which belonged to him, ultimately, before time, it was going to cost him. The question I must ask every one of us listening right now is this. Is there something that you're wasting because you did not appreciate it, or the appreciation that you had for it was misplaced? Your focus was on the stuff rather than a relationship? One of the wise statements my spiritual father made in writing to me, one of the first letters I ever received from him, that great man, Papa Severalo, was the statement, power flows in relationships. I looked at it and I said, what is he talking about? Power flows in relationships. Do you know how true that is? There are things that are greater than cash, relationships. There are things, as a pastor, as a lead, one of the lead pastors in this household of faith, that have been accomplished not by money, but by relationships. Relationships with sons and daughters in this house that have given of their time, given of their resources. What I didn't have, they brought to me and make things possible. I cannot mess up with those relationships. They are priceless to me. The relationship that I have with my Lord is priceless to me. The relationship I have with you, that's priceless. It means something. Oh, sure, I can do all kinds of things, you know, I can stick this iPad in front of me and record this message right now, and it will be the message. But what good is it without a relationship? Sharing of yourself, sharing of your time, relating one with the other. You know, my dad used to say, two hands wash better than one. The relationship of this hand with this hand will cause it to wash better. Are you burning the bridges in your life? The points of connectivity, are you burning them up for foolish reasons? That young man, in a sense, was busy burning his bridges. But I thank God that grace is sufficient. The reason for this word today is to bring you and I back into alignment. If we want the blessing of the Lord, we must not create an atmosphere in which waste becomes the end of the story. God wants you and I to embrace His goodness. A famine came into that land and it began to be in want. The one that had so much, that was jumping into the bars and said, it's all on me. I'll pay for everybody. He was given. Listen, when he spent, he was given something. Everybody gives. When you spend, you are given. Yeah. Think about that. Think about that. When you go to the store and you buy something, you are given something and you received something. When you go to the restaurant, you're given something. You could sit at your home. Yeah? You can sit at home and eat your own food that you cooked. But you chose to go to the restaurant. And when you got there, you ate and you gave your tip. That's all part of giving. But what are you giving to? He spent everything, and famine came, and there were no returns. No returns. No returns. He'd spent it all in the wrong place. He'd gotten the blessing, the inheritance, and spent it in the wrong place. And so many of us are wanting the blessing. You want this, you want this, you want that, you want this, you want that. You want to clear this bill and you want to clear that. You want to have this amazing breakthrough and you spend it in the wrong place. So that when you have a crisis come along, there's no collateral. There's no support. There's no backing. There's nothing to fall back to. You've cut God off. Where's your backing? Those friends? They're minding their own business. They were boozing with you, smoking with you, doing all kinds of stuff with you, and now they have left you. You all by yourself. What are you going to do now? Is God going to be there for you? Oh, yes. If you will turn back and come to Him. The Bible says in verse 15, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. This is a Jewish young man. He has no relationships with swine. But when you've lost your authority, when you've lost your possessions, when you've lost your property, now you are going to have to bow to somebody else who will determine what you get and what you do. That's where this young man was. Now his whole story is connected to this. And the Bible says, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. He would have fain have filled his belly. He would have set his heart to fill his belly. Why? He says, and no man gave unto him. Nobody gave to him. But there was something that had happened to him while he was growing. The word of God says, train up a man, a child, in a way that he ought to go, and at the end, he will not fail. He will not fall apart. Doesn't say he will not face challenges, but the fact that the Bible says, and he would fain have filled his heart, meant that he did not fill his heart or fill his belly with the swine's food. There was a limit. There was a limit. He got to a place and says, no, this is not me. This is not me. This cannot be my life. I cannot get to this level. I cannot fall below this point. Because he'd heard of the graces of God. And child of God, I want you to recognize that you don't need to go as far as the world wants you to go, or allow yourself to be tempted beyond that which you are able to bear, because that's not what God has for you. No man gave to him. He says, and when he came to himself, in other words, when he came to his right mind, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. The narrative's got to change. I remember my father's servants, they were doing well. Here I am serving this guy, and he sends me to go take care of the swine and gives me nothing. You know, if he is so hungry that no man gave to him, the man was using him, did not pay him. Sin is a terrible master. You won't get paid. He's hungry, and he wants to take the food that was meant for pigs and eat it. He says, no. This cannot be my end. I cannot perish like this. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, I will arise and go to my father. Do you know that Jesus came to reveal the Father to us? And he's saying to us, this young man said, I'm going to rise up and I'm going to go to my father and I'm going to say, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. In other words, I've sinned against God and against you, my father, my earthly father. I've sinned. Can you stop for a moment and reflect on that statement? Is there somebody that you need to go back to and talk to? Say, since I broke up this relationship with you, my life has been a mess. I thought I was getting somewhere, but I now know that I made a serious mistake. Will you please forgive me? Some of us need to go back and mend some bridges. If the blessing is going to be restored in your life, go back. He says here, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of thy hired servants, because they have enough to eat. So his mind, watch this now, his mind is still back to the fact that his physical needs had to be met. And he says, I'm not worthy to have a relationship with you, but give me the position where I can still have my needs met. Wow. Think about that. Some of us come to God and that's how we come. We don't want the relationship. We don't think we are worthy of the relationship, but still give me something so I can get by. Is that what your story is going to be? I just want to get by? Or will you cry out to God today and say, Lord, not get by, I want my relationship with you. I'm so glad that when he arose and came to his father, the Bible says, but when he was yet a great way off, while he was still a way off, far, far away, his father saw him. That means his father was looking for him. Looking for what? To have a restored relationship with his son. Do you understand that God wants to have a restored relationship with you? That it's not about stuff, but about that relationship. You may be coming back and just all you want is the stuff. Not as good as it used to be, but let me just get by. God doesn't want you to get by. Shake your head. Wake up and smell the coffee. God does not want you to get by. God wants you blessed. God wants you connected. God wants you to have a relationship. God wants restoration for you. And child of God, tonight, I declare in Jesus' name that you will go past thinking about stuff to thinking about having a restored relationship with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, your Heavenly Father, the one who has loved you with an everlasting love. He is God and he will not fail you in Jesus' mighty name. His father sees him afar off, had compassion on him, and the father ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. In other words, son, I'm so glad that you are here. But what does he say? He came and he repeats his prepared speech. As I wrap up, he says, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. 22. But the father said to him, Father said to him, No. He said to his servants. In other words, I'm not going to listen to this garbage. Bring forth the best robe. Wow. Do you know that that robe is significant because it's the robe of the blessing? This is the robe that brings restoration to you. He said, put it on him. And put a ring on his hand. And shoes on his feet. Wow. A blessing received hastily brings about destruction at the end. You know what I didn't see there? It doesn't say, but the father said to his servants, go give him a bath. The father just says, put the best robe on him. But Lord, I've not taken a bath yet. We'll deal with your bath situation. Well, right now, I want you to know that this relationship is restored. What is this, child of God? This is God saying, yes, I know that you are not all cleaned up yet, that you are not all straightened up yet, but I'm giving to you the grace and the honor of that person who's already made righteous, who's already made whole. I'm not looking at your sin. I'm looking beyond your sin, and I'm seeing grace abound towards you. I call you restored. That is a powerful word for you to think about today. Say, Pastor, I'm still blowing it. I know it. Just don't keep on blowing it. Remind yourself that it's not about what you have in your pocket, but that the Father is reconnected to you and you are reconnected to the Father. There's no way I can complete this message. Because there's so much there with the robe and the ring and the shoes. But let me just do this. The robe is a robe of righteousness that God gives to you. It calls you righteous. The ring is that which basically in his day was a credit card. This is a platinum card. Handed over to him and says, listen, here, this, go and charge whatever it is you want to charge. What? Shoes? The shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace, giving him the ability to speak and talk, not as a sinner, but as a saint. That's a powerful word. 23. He goes on and he says, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. If you died in the likeness of his death, you rise in the likeness of his resurrection. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, in verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ seated on the right hand of God. What is the significance of this? If this is a son that was dead and is alive, that means he was raised. If he was lost and now is found, then what is the motivation of all of this? God was simply saying, now, refocus your attention, not on the things of this world. You see, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Your greatest blessing, child of God, is not that nice Mercedes-Benz in your driveway, not that jet and the tarmac, not that 20,000 square foot house that is furnished and you have all the gadgets. That is not the greatest sign of the blessing. The greatest sign of the blessing is that you first have a relationship with God, and then he says, every other thing shall be added unto you. God is not overtaken. Whatever it is that we collect in this life, that whatever it is that we gather in this life, it is all garbage, ultimately. But what's most important and what you and I must invest ourselves into is that relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and to be able to put on the shoes of preaching the gospel. How beautiful are the feet of them who bring good news. Be a good news bearer. That's where you need to be. That's where I need to be. That's where all of my investments need to be fully focused on. Whatever increase, I want it to bring me into that place of experiencing the powerful relationship with God. There's so much more to this story, because the story continues with the elder brother and all of that. But we are not going to go there today. But right now, I want to ask you, what's your relationship with God like? Is it based on things? Because if your relationship and your commitment to God is based on things, guess what what's going to happen? You're going to lose it. So that your heart is fully exposed. If you don't want to lose, I'm going to say it a third time. If you don't want to lose, pursue a relationship with God. And that relationship will not only keep what you need for your life on a daily basis, but will bring it. It will be manufactured for you daily. Pursue God first. Or like the Lord Jesus Christ aptly put it, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. Rise with me as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for sons and daughters all around this globe who are redefining their lives based on the truth of this, your word. Cause your glory to be revealed in each life, and help us to live life to the full in a relationship that is unbroken, a relationship that is not tarnished, because we know that you have loved us with an everlasting love. Let there be an awakening in every son and in every daughter right now, in the knowing that they are loved with an everlasting love, the agape love of God that cannot be overwhelmed, but overwhelms every setting. In Jesus' name, I decree so done. Amen and amen. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. And remember, your greatest blessing is your relationship with God. And secondly, your relationship with godly men and women that is put in your life. Don't mess that up. Be blessed. Amen.